الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Respected brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are many fada'il, excellences related to sending salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved master Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one hadith, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ فِي يَوْمٍ أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ Whoever recites salat upon me 1,000 times a day, لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَرَى مَقَعْدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ That person, which person? The one who recites salat ala nabi 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah, in paradise. So we learn from this one hadith the importance of reciting Durood Sharif in abundance, with kathra. Meaning if you recite it 10 times, alhamdulillah is good. 50 times is good. You have to start from somewhere. But the goal should be, the aim should be to reach kathra, the level of abundance. And in this hadith we are told to recite it 1,000 times a day. And if we are honest with ourselves, if we were to sit with concentration, with focus, with sincerity, maybe it will take us 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour even, to recite Salat ala Nabi 1,000 times a day. But we don't get around to it. We have so many other commitments, and dare I say, many of those commitments are non-beneficial. They're useless. But we spend hours and hours in front of the TV, for example, watching a game or watching something else, 2 hours, 3 hours, but we don't feel it. If we were to sit down and to try and recite Salat ala Nabi, shaitan and nafs overpower us. So the goal is, the aim is to make ourselves adi, habitual in reciting Durood Sharif, Zikrullah, Istighfar, Tilawatul Quran in abundance, inshaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and ease in this regard. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Inshallah, before we begin the speech, let us make good intentions. Remember, whenever you do a good deed, try and make good intentions. Because according to scholars, if you do a good deed and you don't have a good intention behind it, you won't be rewarded for it. So imagine putting yourself through difficulty, hardship, doing the amal, but then not being rewarded for it. That's why it's important to make good intentions. Let's make the intention that we will listen wholeheartedly with full concentration, inshallah. We will avoid all forms of distractions. We won't be tempted to take out our phones, look left and right, look at who is coming into the masjid, look at who is leaving the masjid. Why? Because these acts will lead to your concentration being affected. And I may say one thing, you may understand something else. The matter of your speech is very sensitive. Imagine the muballigh is saying something is haram. You understand that he said it's not haram. Big, big difference. He says that something is not permissible. You understand that he says it's permissible. Affects the whole ruling. So we have to listen very carefully, inshallah. Like this, whenever you do any good deed, try and make good intentions prior to that good deed in abundance, inshallah. In the short time I have, I'll be speaking about an important topic, and I would like to introduce that topic through a narration, a hadith, which is found in Mishkatul Masabih. There's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. There was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was wearing a gold ring a ring made from gold. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that companion, what did he do? He took that gold ring off his finger and he discarded it. He threw it away. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who would like to put a fire on his hand? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if males wear gold, then it's like putting fire on your hand. There'll be adab for that. There'll be punishment. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, the other companions who were there, they said to the companion who was initially wearing the gold ring, they said, go and pick up the gold ring. Okay, you're not allowed to wear it, but pick it up. It's gold after all. It has monetary value. Pick it up. You can do something else with it. Listen to what the companion said. The companion said that, wallahi, by Allah, he took a qasam. He said, by Allah, I will never pick up that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw away. Meaning, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam disliked and detested the fact that this companion had a gold ring on, threw his gold ring away, and now the companion has understood that wearing gold will not lead to the rida of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has understood that if I wear gold, if I'm adorning myself with gold jewelry, this is haram. And he said, by Allah, I will never pick up something that was thrown away by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many pearls of wisdom can be extracted from this one narration itself. But what I want to discuss is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een and their willingness, their eagerness to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ita'at was the goal for them. When they realized something is wrong, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden it, then they would never look back at that thing again. And this is a big lesson for us today. Even today, people wear gold, males. It's haram for males to wear gold. But we make all sorts of excuses. Oh, it's my wedding day. It's only one day in my life. Let me just wear as many gold rings or wear a gold chain. Or people have given it to me, so it would be wrong for me not to wear it. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is a test of our taqwa. That Islam isn't a religion where you pick and choose. And if you do one good deed, it doesn't mean to say you're allowed to do one sin along with that as well. In fact, if you're doing sins along with your good deeds, then it's like they're nullifying each other. And you're doing good deeds only for them to be nullified by bad deeds as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this mindset that we must act upon Islam fully and not pick and choose as well. So this Sahabi, when he realized that wearing gold is haram, the Prophet ﷺ threw the ring away. He never looked back at that gold ring. Otherwise, he could have picked it up. He could have sold it. He could have used it for any other purpose, not worn it. But he said, no, I don't want anything to do with that thing that Rasulullah ﷺ has thrown away. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala in various places talks about the importance of obeying the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. One ayat of the Quran I will mention to you. This is in Surah Anfal, the first verse in fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And obey Allah and His Messenger if you believe. We're all believers. Alhamdulillah, we embraced faith in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Islam, in the Quran. But look at this verse. Allah ta'ala is saying, if you truly are believers, how are you going to prove that? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That if you are truly believers in Allah and His Messenger, then show that by your obedience. Show that by obeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi has said something beautiful. He said, when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are only obeying Allah in one thing, and that is His hukum, His command. Do this, meaning offer salah. Stay away from backbiting. Give zakat. Stay away from zina. Don't go close to it. The commands of Allah, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we obey Allah in. But as for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obedience entails three different things. Number one, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, number one, you have to obey the Prophet alaihi wasallam in that, whatever he did, and we'll hear plenty of examples. When the Sahaba realized the Prophet alaihi wasallam is doing something, that act became the most beloved act to them. That became dearer to them than everything else. Number two, the aqwal, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thirdly, there are such instances in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where the Sahaba did something before the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not prevent them from doing that. He did not prohibit them from doing that. Now, if you look at the examples of the companions alayhi murdwan, there are numerous examples about how they obeyed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih al-Bukhari, for example, we have one example where a companion, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a da'wat, to an invitation. And when the food was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a dish which had calabash. That's probably the best English word for it. Kaddu Sharif, we call it kaddu. And he noticed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was specifically picking out the calabash from the dish. And this Sahabi says that from that day onwards, that particular food that the Prophet alayhi salam was seeking out from the dish became the most beloved food to me. From that day on, I started to eat it as well. I started to love that particular food as well. Meaning love entails that whatever your mahbub, whatever your beloved likes, you like that as well. Your beloved likes a particular dish, you like that dish. Your beloved's appearance is in a particular way, you follow that appearance, you adopt that appearance. The way he kept his hair, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dressed, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with people, you make that your ideal, your role model. And the Quran tells us this as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Ahzab in particular, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a great example for you. Today people have all sorts of role models, ideals, sports athletes, entrepreneurs, all sorts of worldly people. But for a Muslim, nobody can come close to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of being a role model. Because we believe the most perfect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, Al-Insanul Kamil, was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Sahih Bukhari again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes the importance of obeying him. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't speak from his own self. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he does not speak from his own self. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was divinely inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever obeyed me entered Jannah, entered paradise. And whoever disobeyed me, then he is amongst those who deny it. Look at the two different things. But whoever obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will enter Jannah inshallah. And the one who disobeys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is amongst the deniers, he is amongst those who reject. Every sane Muslim, everybody who has aqal will know which category he wants to be found in. He wants to be, of course, amongst those who obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because that is his ticket towards Jannah, paradise. So obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very important. Let's listen to a few other narrations in this regard. Sayyiduna Abu Darda, famous companion, you may have heard of the name before, radiallahu ta'ala, he would have a habit that he would smile. Whenever he would speak, he would smile. One day his wife said to him, Sayyidatuna Ummi Darda radiallahu ta'ala, she said to him that you smile all the time, you smile so much when you speak, that I fear that people might call you foolish. People might say you're a fool. And you smile too much. Listen to what he said. He said, whenever I saw or heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would smile. It's as if he was saying that because the Prophet alaihi wasallam did this, this is the reason why I do it as well. Copying the beloved. And this is what we need to do. Emulate the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the Prophet alaihi wasallam did was full of khair, was full of wisdom, was full of barakah for us. And we are to act upon it. We are to try at least. We are to learn. If somebody doesn't know regarding the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mannerisms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can he act upon it? So ilm is first. You have to have knowledge of how the Prophet alaihi wasallam conducted himself with people. How he spoke, how he sat, how he dealt with people. His interaction with his family, with the by the community, with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. You need to learn this first. This is the requirement. And only after that can you start following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you another example. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking somewhere and he saw a large construction, a large building. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this building, he asked whose it was. And he was told it was so-and-so's. And he expressed displeasure, dislike at that building. Now that companion who owned that building, who it belonged to, he came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened? The Prophet alayhi wa sallam turned away from him. Ignored him. Again, he tried to gain the blessed attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second time, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam still ignored him. Turned away from him. And this continued for a while until this companion, he became upset. What's happening here? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, normally when people come, he's attentive towards them. What's happened today? And he expressed this to the other companions, alayhim ridwan. They said to him, the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not reacting, is not turning his attention towards you, is because he's seen your large building. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man who lived a very simple life. And he did not want for his ummah to accumulate the wealth of the world. Why? Because this can overpower and overwhelm the heart. So they said to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upset because he saw this large construction of yours. He expressed dislike. Now this sahabi, without telling anybody, what did he do? He went to this very building of his that he was the owner of, he is the malik of. And the words of the haditha, he demolished it brick by brick, demolished the entire building. Another time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked by and he saw this very same place where the building was. He saw that nothing is there. He said to the sahaba, where's that building gone? That very tall building with that dome on there, where's it gone? And they said, that sahabi, when he came to your court and you did not turn your attention towards him, he asked, we told him the reason. Straight away he went and he demolished his building. This was the zuhud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the asceticism he was teaching his ummah to do without. That when you are not making the world your focus and your aim, then you can concentrate on the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can free your heart for the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've seen it. People can deny it all they want. But majority of people who are busy, engaged, occupied in accumulating the world, the state of their deen is very bad. Illa mashallah. Except whoever Allah ta'ala has mercy upon, most of the people. They don't even offer their prayers. They commit sin after sin just to accumulate more and more wealth. And then what if somebody tries to rectify or tries to give advice? They'll say, but this is a worship as well. And the answer to that is yes, earning a livelihood is worship. It's from the faraid. But becoming, someone who earns 6 figures every year, 7 figures every year, 10, that's not the goal. If you attain that without exerting yourself, alhamdulillah. But if you make that your everything, and your deen is not prioritized, and you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process, then a person can only regret this in the akhirah. What did I do for the dunya? For 60 years, for 80 years, I disregarded the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at this hadith. This sahabi, as soon as he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is displeased with him, that he had built this massive construction, just like people do today as well, build mansions and they don't even live in them. Back home, abroad, even the kids don't desire to go. There's cobwebs there, all sorts of issues. They have to eventually pay people to live in the property. But anyhow, the Sahabi, when he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like this, he demolished that building. Now another account, this is regarding the early Sahabiyat, the females of this ummah. They were very pious as well. Once what happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking and he saw that on the pathway, the men and women were walking in such a way that they were intermingled. You could say the women were walking in the middle of the path as well, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like that. And he said, "O women, stay back," meaning do not intermingle like this when crossing a path even. He said, "Use the sides of the roads." Afterwards, it's narrated, this is in Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Muslims, the early Sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna, they began to walk on the sides of the roads to such an extent that their clothes sometimes would get entangled with whatever was on the side. That's how much they would keep to the sides. They heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like them to be right smack bang in the middle where the males were walking and intermingling. And they obeyed with the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and thereafter began walking on the sides. And this is a testament to the obedience of the Sahabiyat. Now, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam order this? The reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded this is because this is from haya. Rasulullah alaihi wasallam in so many narrations said, "Al-haya'u min al-iman, shu'batun min al-iman." Once a companion was telling off another companion, "Don't be so shy, don't be so modest." The Prophet alaihi wasallam said, "Leave him." Why? Because modesty is from iman. In one narration, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said that iman and haya are interlinked, are connected. When one of them leaves, the other leaves as well. So in Islam, modesty plays a big part. Rasulullah alayhi salam wanted the women to walk a separate path to the males. And what's happening today? Complete opposite. Disregard. If you try to even tell someone, say you're backwards. Which era are you living in? And respectfully, we have to say to that person that, look, these teachings are not my teachings or the teachings of my elders. These are the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, Rasulullah alaihi wasallam warned those people who don't adopt haya, especially in regards to their family members. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one narration, three types of people shall never enter paradise. Three types of people shall not enter paradise. A dayyuth, a woman that adopts masculine style, and an alcoholic. So from these three things that were mentioned by Rasulullah, number one, dayyuth. Dayyuth, Islamically speaking, that is a terminology of Sharia, it refers to someone who is not modest, who does not have haya in regards to his female family members, in the way they dress, in the way they act, with other people, meaning not family members as well. They have no ghaira in this regard. They're immodest in this regard, indecent even in this regard. If I were to even start giving the examples of how people even, ba'adallah, contribute to this immodesty in society. They're the first to introduce their female family members to others, to strangers, unfamiliar people, unknown people. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the harms of that, knew that the society can only thrive, and you can only have a harmonious society if you adopt haya, if you adopt modesty. Now, when these sahabiyat realized that the Prophet ﷺ didn't want them to walk in the middle of the road with the other male companions, what did they do? They stopped doing that. They started walking on the side. So this is something that we can convey to our female relatives, family members, that this is important in Islam to maintain modesty, maintain your haya. And as you heard in the hadith, three types of people will not enter paradise. Their youth. Second one, a woman that adopts masculine style, and this is common today as well. And an alcoholic. This hadith is in مجمع الزوائد. So we were hearing regarding the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To conclude, obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very important. And as believers, we need to express that obedience. You know, people are quick to say, how do you know what I do and what I don't do? You say, okay, your muamala is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone's matter is with Allah. There are external signs as well that we must follow. We must follow the outer sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. The internal ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. To the utmost of our ability. And Allah ta'ala will grant us himma, will grant us aid, assistance in this regard as well. We conclude and pray that Allah ta'ala grants us tawfiq to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his actions, in his sayings, in his af'al, in his a'mal, in his aqwal. Because barakah lies in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You could follow anyone in the world, but you will not come close to the barakah that you will obtain in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us great success in this regard. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the sake